Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right, we are back. Still riding solo this week, but Andy should be back at the weekend. Fingers crossed. He's still slightly under the weather. Nonetheless, you will have to suffer just hopefully just one more time with myself before getting into everything, previewing the match between Roma and Napoli. Just a few items. Obviously wanted to say thank you to all of our patrons over at Patreon. Your support means absolutely everything. Just very quickly, to see where the support goes and what it means. It means when we get inquiries such as this, we are easily able to say thank you, but no thank you. So I received this email late yesterday evening, simply from somebody inquiring about potentially putting an advert on the podcast. And it is male enhancement supplements. Because of all the wonderful support all of you give to us, I am able to say no thanks. Thank you, but no thank you to approaches such as this. So from the bottom of my heart, and on Andy's behalf too, we thank all of you. It truly does mean a lot. And again, it means we don't have to lower ourselves to trying to come up with 2 dozen different puns, trying to find a way to integrate a performance-enhancing supplement aimed at males on the podcast or the website. So truly, even if you aren't a patron, if you simply subscribe to us on YouTube, it does mean a lot. And again, it allows us to say we are okay, but thank you anyway to those interested advertisers such as that. So again, thank you to all of you. If you would like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/RomaPress and the youtube.com/@ISRomaPress. And again, thank you to everyone. Your support is absolutely immense. One other item, I'm sure you have recognized it by now if you've been onto the site within the last 24 to 48 hours. This was like the culmination of months and months and months and months of work, because, you know, it is just Andy and myself. We don't have the resources of a website such as La Roma 24, Forza Roma, some of these other entities that are larger. While we do have, obviously, a significant following, we don't. The staff is Andy and myself. That's it. So when there are things that need to be done to the website, updates, it is all done by us. It takes a very, very long time. I'm hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that you are able to recognize very evidently and quickly and obviously that there is a performance improvement on the site. Essentially, we had to remove the old website builder program we were previously using and switch to a new one that was more lightweight and did not put such a burden onto the visitors and create such a heavy loading of the page. The page size was too large and it was a big problem across the site. So hopefully, because this took me several months to get done, hopefully you can at least notice something. And at worst, at least you like the layout a little better. Or in either case, if you think it sucks and you hate it, please let me know. Everybody knows my Twitter account. Let me know. Let me know any changes or things you don't like, what you would do to improve it. I am always open to potential feedback, to feedback and potential constructive criticism as to how we can make the website better. So truly, to everyone who has hung in there with us, if you did encounter like an error in the last weeks, thank you for your patience. It truly does mean a lot. It does mean a lot, especially during this time when we are all reflecting on how things have gone over the past year. Just the support we continue to be shown here between Andy and myself, it's overwhelming at times, and it is difficult for me to come on here and express it properly. But I want all of you to know that he and myself just the continued support from everyone. I mean, there are some people, the website, we initially opened it in 2014. We started off as just a social media account in 2010. I mean, I have known so many of you since the very beginning, 13 years, 2010, that still follow us. That still watch us to this day. I know I have known many of you longer than I have my own children. And to receive that continued support, it is so overwhelming at times. But, you know, with the end of 2023 being here, and this usually being a time of reflection and wanted to give thanks, I want everyone to know just it means more than you could ever imagine that for all of these years, through Eusebio Di Francesco to now with Jose Mourinho, the support has really never wavered. And it truly is one of the most overwhelming things that there are people who have stood by us for this long. Truly, I want to thank each and every one of you. It means so much. So thank you. All right, enough of the mushy stuff. It's Roma, Napoli at the weekend. I said in the previous episode, the entire season comes down to these next four matches. And I am yet to see any evidence as to why that would not be the case. I saw some of the comments that many of you left in the previous episode when I asked what would be an acceptable record over these next four matches between Napoli, Juve, Atalanta, Milan. Four huge, four vitally important matches, all direct clashes, so to speak, with teams that are in the race for top four. What is acceptable? I said at worst, two wins, one draw, one defeat. I absolutely stand by that. I am looking at, because obviously home to Napoli, away playing in Torino against Juve, home to Atalanta, and then at San Siro against Milan. They can do it. They can do it. They can get a result in one of these two away fixtures, and they should win both fixtures at home. I'm not going to waver on that. I am not going to apologize for perhaps being too confident. They can do it. They need to do it. I don't know how many of you subjected yourselves to watching Napoli in the Coppa Italia. Speaking of Eusebio Di Francesco, I don't know how many of you saw them against Frosinone at the midweek, but to say it was yikes, that's probably the only way to properly describe it. I mean, Napoli against Frosinone was a disaster class of the highest order. They looked horrible. Now, in fairness, this is a Napoli that is dealing with many injuries. And again, to be fair, all of these goals, I think Frosinone, all of the goals were scored. You know what? I should just pull it up because I'm going to say 30 minutes and I will probably be incorrect. Okay, well, when we consider extra time, it actually is a half an hour exactly. They conceded the first goal in minute 65 in the second half, and then the final goal was scored in extra time in the 95th minute. Again, I don't know if many of you subjected yourself to that. It was in Campania, so Napoli were at home. And Eusebio, man, that was a clinic in the second half that they put on. Now, as far as luck goes, that's certainly played a role in one, maybe two of those goals. However, okay, Frosinone had more shots. They had more shots on target. They looked far more interested in playing. Napoli looked like they couldn't be bothered. I think it was a mix of fatigue and not really, you know, they couldn't be bothered to really give something into this one. But it is not as if they played a weak team. No, I mean, Mazzarri, he played Simeone, Raspadori. He had Deme in midfield. I mean, it's not as if he punted on this one. Now, obviously, because they were losing, he did have to bring on some of his more important players, Osimhen, Politano. All of the names came on in the second half, but they didn't make the difference. Frosinone, they would go on to win 4-0. And I watched that match, and obviously, again, you have to take it with some grain of salt. You have to take it with some understanding that probably they are not necessarily punting this, but certainly Mazzarri is going to prioritize the match against Roma over this fixture. That is understood. I am not going to give to him too much of a problem for that. However, I look at what happened between that match and what happened at the weekend, and I know Roma have no position to speak. No position to speak after what took place against Bologna, because it was, that in itself was a disaster class. So it is not as if Roma gave us, at least against Bologna, any reason to, or a reason to give to them credit and a reason for us to believe at 100% that they are correctly or should be or ought to be favorites against Napoli, because they were horrible. But Napoli at home against Cagliari, pulling one out of their backsides. They did not perform well, particularly that first half. That first half, it was a uninterested Napoli, it seemed. I won't even say uninterested. I would say a blunted Napoli, a Napoli that again, I won't say can't be bothered. It's a mixture of ineffectiveness. And obviously, when you take, this is why the appointment of Agent Rudy was so baffling to me, because to go from the football of Luciano Spalletti to Mr. Garcia to now Cazzarri, a guy who, I don't even know what you want to label his football. I haven't the slightest idea, but I do know that all of us would unilaterally agree that every single adjective or description that we would probably use to describe his football, they would all be very negative, or at least have an implied negative connotation attached to it. To go from Spalletti, Garcia, Mazzarri, all within the span of 6 months, I couldn't imagine being a player on that team. Poor Osimhen. The guy's mind must be spinning when he sees the ways of playing of Spalletti, and then you hear Mazzarri come in and he's speaking to you in this broken Italian, and you hear the instructions he's giving to you, and then you juxtapose those to what Luciano was telling to you half of a year ago. I can only imagine just how getting your head around that and accepting that this is your new reality, how difficult that must be. But nonetheless, this is not a Napoli that is back to playing as the team that won the Scudetto of last season. They still have very obvious defects. Do we even have to mention Juan Jesus being a first-choice selection? We don't have to mention that. We don't even have to go into that. But that is their reality. One of the guys, one of my favorite, who I spoke of a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I don't even remember when it started, because I knew, or I know very well his agent, and I was very up to date and aware of his situation, is Anguissa. One of the most mind-boggling acquisitions to me of Napoli, because he was available for months and months and months and months and months and months. He was looking for a new home. He could have been, I mean, he was offered to all of the top, except Lazio. I'm looking at the table now. Fulham were doing everything they could to get rid of this guy. He wanted to leave. They wanted him to leave. He was offered to every single top 5 to 7 club in Serie A. Roma said thank you, but no thank you. In fact, they did. Thiago Pinto did have a discussion with his agent, and there was for about 5 seconds some smoke beginning to arise from the talks, but ultimately Roma said no thank you. And I came on here again. It seems to be ancient history at this point, but I remember coming on here and wanting to pull my hair out because he was exactly the profile that Roma needed in midfield. And I still maintain now that he possesses the exact qualities that Roma lack in midfield. Mediano, who has very strong positional awareness. He tactically, technically, extremely proficient of a guy. So when I was told right away that Roma said no, we are not going to do an offer for him and try to acquire him concretely, I was very, very devastated because I think and still think he would have been the perfect profile for Roma, but no need to get into that and cry over the glass of spilled milk. But you look at this Napoli and you just look at the attacking actions, the movements, the way they function now versus how they did half a year ago. This is, yes, it is the same players. Yes, it is the same team for the most part, but they just play so differently. They do not have that same self-assuredness of themselves. They don't. They look like they are thinking far too much out on the pitch. It is not the free-flowing football that Luciano allowed them to play. And it's mind-boggling to me that De Laurentiis went the path that he did. It is a very confusing thing to me. But when we look at where Roma against Napoli, where they are being or where they can exploit things, I mean, I think it is obvious. Yeah, it is an attack. You're going to have Romelu Lukaku. What they decide to do as far as playing behind him, Lorenzo Pellegrini, who has been nothing short of a disaster thus far this season. Whether they decide to put Andrea Belotti alongside him, we don't know yet at the moment, but. I mean, I don't want to say Lukaku himself should be enough, but I am ostensibly somewhat saying that. Obviously, it is obviously silly to say that one guy can not only carry an entire department, but be the one to punish the opposition from that department. He's obviously going to need help. However, when you have Romelu Lukaku available and at your disposal versus when you do not, it is very obvious that Roma are going to struggle to score. In fact, I mean, if we look at even when he and Paulo Dybala are at disposal, they struggle to score already. So this is something they are going to have to take advantage of. In fact, though, I'm curious to see what Lukaku does differently, how he functions differently, if they decide to continue, if Jose Mourinho decides to continue or go back to a 3-5-2. Does he put Belotti with him? Does he put Stefan El Shaarawy slightly behind him? We don't know. To be quite frank with you, if I wanted to do something a bit different, which this is something I know Andy has advocated for at times, I think this would be the time where I would try to put Azmoun in there. And just do something different. Give to them a different look, a different complexion of Roma. Because when Azmoun does go out there, and this is probably the time in which Andy would debate with me. Well, we know, everybody knows their roles. Azmoun has been most effective when coming off of the bench. And I would, of course, not disagree with that in any way, shape, or form. When he does come on, he, for the most part, really seems to have a massive, massive impact on the affair. He really seems to change the functionality of the attacking department when he does come on. I mean, things just seem to open up with Azmoun when he gets introduced in that second half. I don't want to wait until the second half, though, for Roma to begin to threaten Napoli to score a goal. How about we put our foot on the gas earlier? Let's not wait until the latter stages of the match to give to them, to give a spark to the attack. How about we do that from the beginning? That is something I would want to see from Jose Mourinho. Now, what that means as far as what is behind the attack, because Azmoun, Lukaku, whatever you do, the problems of Roma this season, in my opinion, the biggest ones are in midfield. But the problem is, he is not going to change many things, if anything at all, in midfield. He's going to continue with Paredes in the heart of it. He's going to put Cristante. Now, whether it is Bove, Pellegrini, it remains to be seen. And then on the flanks, I do not understand what Jose Mourinho has opted to do with the right back situation. This thing where he seems to go back and forth and back and forth between Ricardsdorp and Christensen. To me, it makes very little sense. I would hope Karsdorp is the one to begin from the beginning against Napoli. But it remains to be seen, because to date, there really does not seem to be any consistency behind his decision as to whether he's going to select the Dutchman or the Christensen. You know, it just seems to lack any sort of reasoning behind it. So we have to wait and see. And then at left, on the left, I mean, at this point, it's going to be Spinazzola. I wouldn't be surprised if he put El Shaarawy on the flank, but in my opinion, we saw what happened against Bologna when you had Belotti, El Shaarawy next to each other. I just think now you can't put El Shaarawy in attack like that. Put him outside wide on the flank. Allow him to do something with the ball at his feet when he has others in front of him. Do not, don't have him be the one leading the attack. I think he needs to be on the flank. I would expect to see Spinazzola, but I don't know at this point. I mean, Zaleski seems to be not even under consideration anymore, which 1 year ago, 1 season ago, probably would have been difficult to envision. But when you see the problems he has had in terms of helping out and giving his contribution in attack, it is understandable. Now, I have now, I'm logging in now to Gazzetta dello Sport just to see what they are tipping to be the formation of Roma. And naturally, of course, they're going to go against what I hope. And okay, so they are saying Spinazzola and Azmoun are. It remains to be seen. Obviously, we will have to. I think they are going to play, but let's wait. They have Pellegrini right now. Gazzetta dello Sport in the probable formation of Roma Napoli. They have Pellegrini on the left flank and El Shaarawy playing behind Romelu Lukaku. So, essentially doing everything, it is as if Gazzetta dello Sport heard me say those words, and then they changed the formation to in an attempt to tempt me into hurling myself out of a window. I have a very difficult time believing that this is what it is going to be, but who knows? Because they have even Christensen on the right, Karsdorp on the bench. I do not believe that is going to be the case, but who knows? We will see. That is where, though, unfortunately, this match is going to be determined, in my opinion, is the middle of the pitch. And this is where Roma, anything Can we see something? Can we see any form of consistency in the middle of the pitch from Roma? Because you want to talk about letting yourself down. They do that so often in midfield. And there's very little in the way of options as ways to change it. I know Andy has said it for weeks now that you cannot put Paredes as the that regista in the heart of it. Move him to mezzala. Put Cristante into the middle. Let him be that mediano, that defensive guy who can, you know, help curb the attack and give some backbone to the midfield. To me, that is an obvious thing to do. But will they do it? I am not going to hold my breath that Jose Mourinho is going to make that change. But who knows? We can still maintain hope. But this is where, unfortunately, again, Roma, it's you are going to live and die by the midfield. Like most teams, the middle of the pitch is where you determine how well you do in any given season. And I just need to see something from them. I need to see Paredes put something in where not only is he able to help control the tempo of the play of Roma, making key passes, doing something to maybe take a risk to do that one pass forward to free Romelu Lukaku that maybe you have been hesitant to do, but also to give some stability to the midfield and to assist much better. And we want to talk about awareness of your position on the pitch, knowing where to be and when. I would say that is, without question, without hesitation, in fact, one of his most critical areas of his game that he struggles with. And it is very difficult for me to understand, because you look at these guys that play this. I mean, this is a guy who played the Juve last season. He was playing at PSG. He is playing with strong players, and you would think he would be able to adopt a better sense of positioning, where to be, how that player is going to be when he moves forward. I need to go there. If the ball goes that way, I need to be over here. I'm getting so animated. I knocked my drink off of my desk. Fantastic. I need to see that from him. I need to see that from him. I can't have these inconsistent performances from him. And the difficult thing is, when you have the guy who is, you know, the fulcrum of your midfield, if he is performing poorly, he is just by default going to drag the others around him down, because they are going to have to make up for the deficiencies that he is displaying. So I think because he has not been consistent this season, we have not seen Cristante, at least when he is playing in the midfield, showing his best. And I think that has almost a direct correlation to the fact that he is having to help mask, or at least try to mask, some of the deficiencies of Paredes. So that is something I want to see. I want to see something from him. It's going to be an interesting match, though, because I looked at, before recording, I looked at Napoli in Serie A thus far this season. So at home, and this is such a fascinating bit of data, in my opinion. So at home, Napoli, 8 matches, a record of 3 wins, 1 draw, 4 defeats. Points per, or I'm sorry, average points, 1.25. 12 goals scored, 13 conceded. Napoli away from home this season. 8 matches, 5 wins, 2 draws, 1 defeat. An average of 2.13 points. 16 goals scored. 6 conceded. Fascinating to me. Fascinating. Now, sample size. Obviously, we are what? Just over 1/3 of the season completed. that is going to be obviously heavily influenced by the teams you will play away versus who you have played at home thus far. I would say as far as away matches, now Napoli have faced away from home. They have faced Juve, which they lost. Atalanta, they won. And that is really about it as far as the bigger clubs go. So they have had a much easier away fixture run thus far. And their latest came against Juve in that loss in which they lost 1-0. So let's see what happens. I mean, beyond just the baseline analysis of what we've seen from Roma and what we've seen in these days from Napoli, there's very little that we can add as far as original view of this match, because let's face it, whether we want to accept it or not, admit it or not, this Roma is consistently inconsistent. You do not know what you are going to get from one match to the next. And we could see them come out, perform valiantly, get a very important result, and begin this run of four matches with a vitally important win. Or we could see them absolutely piss themselves, like we've seen, like we saw against Genoa. They give you very little reason to have faith in them from one match to the next. I would say that is probably the biggest hindrance, or the biggest bad mark, as you can tell, I'm struggling right now, for the Roma of Jose Mourinho. I mean, if you look, from a league perspective, only in a Serie A perspective, from weekend to weekend, it is, you haven't any idea. You haven't any idea. And the one I mentioned on here, every single, I seem to mention this at least every single week. Do we want to go back and we remember, okay, Roma winning in Bergamo over Atalanta. Huge, huge victory. Much needed victory to get the stench of losing all of the big matches against the big teams, to get that off of you. I mean, we all know when Paolo Fonseca arrived, he struggled in his two seasons to really get any sort of result against any of the big clubs. So when Jose Mourinho came, there really was an absolute thirst, a desperation, you could say even, for Roma to win these big games. And Roma, they go to Bergamo, and what was it? It was 4-1. See, I was going to say 4-0. 4-1. Roma, they go to Bergamo in the first season of Jose Mourinho, and they absolutely hammer Gasparini's men. And what happens after that? You are riding incredibly high. Euphoria. You feel great. This can be the thing to catapult you to more important results. And what happens after Roma, they go to Bergamo and they achieve an important result? We all know, because you have heard me say the same thing on here 1,000 times. They go to Bergamo, they win 4-1. Then they come home just before Christmas, just before the holiday, the Olimpico. You are hosting an extremely, extremely, extremely shit Sampdoria, and they score equalizer, I think it was like the 85th minute, something like that, and you draw 1-1 against a shit Sampdoria team after winning in Bergamo. That is a perfect embodiment of the Roma of Jose Mourinho in Serie A. That right there. Those two matches juxtaposed to one another from the 2021-2022 season. That's all you need to see. Those two matches right next to each other. How many days apart did they happen? Let me see if I can find that very quickly. When those two matches, what the time in between those two was. It was 4 days. Four days. So 18th of December, 2021. Roma, they go to Bergamo and they win 4-1 over Atalanta. Just a few days later at home, just before the holiday, you're going to have a packed stadium. Roma, they draw 1-1 against a shit Sampdoria. That's AS Roma of Jose Mourinho in Serie A. That has to end at some point. It has to. If you want to do anything, if you want Champions League football, this is where you have to stop that. You have to get the result against Napoli. Fingers crossed. Let's see what happens. I can't believe I have made it almost, it says 36 minutes. Thank you all for hanging in there with me. Thank you all for, again, the support. We will be back, Andy and myself, after the weekend. We obviously have Christmas on Monday. So Buon Natale to all of you who celebrate. Again, the support all of you have shown to us, so overwhelming. We can't thank you enough. I don't know when exactly we will record because Napoli, Roma, it is on Saturday. So probably the episode will be out on Sunday, assuming Andy is feeling better. But all I know is you will see one of us in a few days. I just hope it is under positive circumstances because I don't even want to consider what were to happen if it does not go well, Roma, and then you have the holiday. I don't want to do it. I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to try and think positively. But nonetheless, we will be back in a few days. Until then, ciao.